Adventures in Research. Probably the most roundly abused and soundly despised invention that ever benefited mankind is his best friend and worst enemy, the alarm clock. It gets a good many dirty looks and nasty mutterings every day. But there is another invention that follows a close second in human ingratitude. This one saves countless lives a day, yet earns nothing but abuse and condemnation. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story behind two colored lights that have saved many lives and have earned immortality in rhyme. You probably have heard about two little colors, green, then red. If you don't obey both, you are apt to be dead. Yes, this is the story of the green and the red, and man's second most maligned invention. Before the days of the automobile, traffic wasn't much of a problem. Oh, there might be a few tie-ups of wagons on the cobblestone streets. But once you left the streets and stretches of macadam behind and headed for the open road, then you found out why it was called the open road.
Easy there. Open road, my clavicle. If it's open, it's only open down the middle. If these ruts get any deeper...
Why don't somebody fix them, Pa?
Oh, beats me, Tad. Hang on now. I swear this road gets worse every spring. I reckon the freezing and thawing splits the ground apart more and more.
Look out for that hole there, Pa.
I see it. Whoa. Steady. I don't know why folks can't keep their roads in better condition. But I'll be glad to get back to home and rest my frame. I feel like I'm jolted to jelly. Sure don't know why somebody don't fix this road.
But, Pa...
Yeah, there ought to be a dad-blamed law about anybody letting a road get as bad as this.
But, Pa, we're almost home. This is our road we're on.
I've got a good mind to... Our road, eh, Tad? I guess it ain't really so bad. Come on, Sally. Come on.
Throughout the United States, the main traffic problem was roads. Wretched, rough, and rutted. Mud deep after winter thaws. And dust layered through the summer. And most people didn't give much thought to them.
Serves the blame fool right for using it. Nobody asked him to try to get into my place.
And because railroads had expanded and were hauling most of the distant traffic, regional roads fell into disuse. There were no more stagecoaches or Pony Express riders to insist that the roads be trafficable. In general, the upkeep of the roads was up to the rural property owners, who could pay their road tax in money or in work.
$37? Frank, I won't pay it, that's all.
Now, hold your horses, Jim. Just hold your horses.
But $37.
I didn't say in cash. You can work it out. Just give me some of your time to help get the road in shape.
That's all well and good, Frank. But I got chores aplenty right now. I don't know when I can ever get time.
No hurry, Jim. We'll get around to it sometime. That's all. Much obliged.
By 1904, the first highway census was taken. And although the rural roads totaled about 2 million miles, only some 150,000 miles were surface in any form, and only 150 miles in all the United States had any kind of paving. And so in 1904, there just wasn't much of a traffic problem. But 10 years later, there were automobiles, and there were traffic problems.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Max, shut that window. Fella can't hear himself think with that racket.
Okay. Man, what a traffic jam down there.
Well, they'll get it straightened out. It's not your worry.
I know. But Did you ever stop to think about the future? More people buying gas buggies every day. Or before long, they'll be tied up in knots so tight they'll never get entangled.
Well, when that happens, they'll pass a law against them.
Are you kidding? Pass a law against cars? Eh, don't be ridiculous. There'll be more and more of them. That means traffic jams at every corner.
Oh, what are you getting worked up about? When that happens, they'll put a traffic policeman on the corner, just like they have down on Main and Spruce.
A policeman on every corner? Where could they get that many police? Why, that'd take thousands, millions of them.
Oh, for pity's sake, Mac, don't make such a big thing of it. They'll straighten it out somehow. It isn't your lookout. Those crazy loons want to buy a car and spend their day tooting their fool horns at the guy ahead of them. Like, what's it to you?
I guess you're right. Yeah, but what's going to happen to them?
How should I know? Forget it.
I guess so. After all, I don't even own a car. Well, I gotta be going. So long. Hey, excuse me, pal. Any chance of holding it so I can get across the street?
Go ahead, if you can. They got this corner in such a mess, you can't complicate it any.
Yeah, I see. Well, I'll cut across right here, I guess, if I'm ever going to get home.
I'm an hour late already. I'd be better off like you, walking, I guess. They got all these cars messed up at every corner.
Every corner?
Sure. This is the fourth jam I've been in just six blocks.
Oh.
You'd think they'd do something about it, huh?
Yeah. Say, that's a nice buggy you got there.
Oh, yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I'd offer you a lift, only...
I see what you mean. Well, thanks anyway.
Yeah. You'll get there faster walking, I guess.
Having a car would be mighty nice, I guess. Everybody seems to be buying one.
Well, there's nothing like it. Traffic jam or not, you can't beat them for sparking. You see, my girl and me, we go off for a drive in the evening, and I drive with one arm. Say, reminds me of a joke I heard the other day. Now, stop me if you've heard this. You know why there's more automobile accidents than train accidents? You know?
No, why?
Because the engineer isn't always kissing the fireman. You get it? In a car, you see, chances are a guy and his girl are... You get it?
But, how come, really, huh? I mean, how do they keep from having traffic jams along the railroad?
How should I know? I guess they got lights that change color when another train's coming or something. But that's not the joke. You see, the engineer is always...
Get moving, will you?
Oh, yeah. Traffic's moving. So long, pal.
But what I want to know is, why couldn't they?
Colored lights? Well, I never heard of nothing as silly.
That'd be worth a try, just like the railroads. On a corner like that and down there. You'd have a light in the middle of the street, flash red for stop one way, green for go the other. Then switch the colors around, stop the go street, and flash green on the other one.
Colored lights. Well, first of all, in the daytime, you couldn't see them. In the second place, you wouldn't get people to obey them. And in the third place...
And so in 1914, in Cleveland, Ohio, the traffic light was born. It stood about 3 feet high in the center of an intersection, a red light pointing one way and a green light the other. It wasn't much of a traffic light, but it was a beginning. And other cities with the same traffic headaches as Cleveland adopted the idea with variations of their own.
San Francisco adopted a semaphore signal that screamed every time it changed directions by blowing an automatic whistle.
Philadelphia dreamed up an idea for one mammoth light that would be visible for miles if the driver would only look in the right direction.
And in New York, notably on Fifth Avenue, traffic towers were erected and policemen operated hand signals from a safe height. But all this didn't solve the ever-increasing traffic problem. Major intersections in metropolitan cities handled as many as 8,000 cars and 30,000 pedestrians an hour. So, even the green and red blinking traffic light couldn't do everything to alleviate the traffic jams. In the early days of the traffic light, a simple clockwork controlled the red and green at set intervals. Later, the control device was made to handle more than one light.
come on, move along there, move along.
But, officer, this fella here has me blocked out because he stopped by that traffic light up there.
Well, you can't stop here.
I can't do anything. If they'd ever get those blasted lights working right, they wouldn't tie a guy up so you cops could come
now,
in there.
Now, wait a minute. You look here, Bob. You can't
talk
to...
Wait, I gotta get to work, officer.
As more and more cars moved around the city thoroughfares, the battle of the intersections increased. Take Route 10 in Seattle, Washington. Every night during rush hour, traffic backed up for as much as half a mile. There were squealing brakes. Tangled fenders. And frayed tempers.
Why, you... I'm a good person to break...
Who do you think you are?
Why don't you watch where you're going?
The reason? No less than 15 conflicting traffic movements. No matter how the signals were set, the traffic snarled. Something had to be done. Traffic engineers and electrical experts got together to create a fabulous gadget, a traffic signal with a brain.
We call it the actuated signal because it sets itself to suit traffic conditions at any particular moment. The thing is almost human, but there's nothing mysterious about how it works. It's like any other traffic light with two items added. First, there is the electric detector which feels a car approach the intersection. Usually, this is a pressure plate which responds to the car's weight, or a contrivance which sends out electric impulses when its magnetic field is disturbed, somewhat like the electric eye. This message is received by a sort of electronic switchboard that weighs and measures traffic conditions, as indicated by the number of impulses it receives from various streets. Suppose a number of cars are driving along First Street, and only a few along Main. The signal then shoots the green light to the heavier traffic street. But then the actuated signal remembers the traffic piling up on Main, and when enough cars are waiting there, it zips another signal, and there's the green light for those cars.
Simple as that. But actuated signal traffic lights are smoothing out the wrinkles and the jams in the battle of the intersections. For example, they operate on the famed Triangle of Detroit, where 96,000 cars pour through in an average day. Thanks to these traffic lights with brains, a car can zip through a welter of traffic with an average of only one stop and start. Cars get through with 42% fewer delays than when the intersection was controlled by ordinary signals and traffic police. Yes, thanks to the modern traffic light, traffic flows more smoothly, with fewer delays, and with a minimum of frayed tempers. And most important, accidents drop as much as 90%. Just think of that. The next time you're held up by this much-abused, blinking boon to the motorist, life-saving product of another adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research. Thank you.